Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is Monday, not Sunday. We're recording this intro a day late because episode 341, although we had done an interview with author Deb Obermeyer in advance, we snuck away and got away for, what, a day and a half?
Yeah, and about.
Well, almost.
It's a vacation.
Yeah, it's almost a staycation as we almost didn't go. I wasn't feeling very good, and I looked at Don and I said, no, come hell or high water, I'm going to that cabin. And I did feel better, so anyway, we made it over. And we just wanted to share a little bit of that journey with you listeners, and then we'll get on to the interview we did last Thursday.
Yeah, and there's big reason to, because we ran across some people that just blew us out of the water. We had no idea what we were running into when we did, because you travel, you know, 100 some miles in one direction, and you find somebody living there that's from 13 miles away from you, and it's like, wow, how did we do that?
So when I knew we were going to have the opportunity to get away, because basically it started being your birthday, and I wanted to go away for your birthday and take you along. How's that, Don?
Story of my life.
We're going here, and we're going to have fun.
And you're going to enjoy yourself.
But usually it ends up well. So,
yeah, and I enjoyed myself.
Yes, this was no exception. But anyway, I did a little research, and I just wanted a cabin with a screened-in porch and a body of water that I could look at. And sure enough, I found something in Warrenton, Missouri. And it wasn't that our goal was to go to Warrenton. It was just that that's where the cabin was, and we ended up there, which makes all this that we're going to talk about even more unique and fascinating to me.
Well, and it's absolutely unique because of all of the things that happened. First off, the lady that owned the cabin when we finally got there, the lady that owned the cabin told us that we were sharing a birthday.
Right. Well, I mentioned it was your birthday, and she looked at me like, well, mine too.
She told us that she had two kids, one of them named Zach and one of them named Gabe, and we both go, wow.
And the reality is she has eight total kids, so it just happened that two of hers were named what our children's name were. And then they'd homeschooled, which we did. They were into natural living, and they'd raised goats before. They'd made goat's cheese. They were like,
you know, what else do you do with goat milk?
and interested in living off the grid and all this kind of stuff. And so, of course, we never go anywhere without copies of the Owl Creek Gazette. And by the way, this is the official podcast of that magazine.
Imagine that.
So we gave her the magazine, and we just had a delightful conversation. There were so many things that were similar, and it became our, what we almost consider our new favorite, we will return getaway spot. So we go into town, and I had also done a little Googling and researching, because now that we have Creekside Community Brew Coffee House, I always want us to connect up with other coffee house owners if possible. I knew this gentleman that was the owner of the coffee house had recently started it up, and he was younger than us, but older for the average startup business. And I thought, this would be a great thing. We'll have lots in common. And sure enough, but Don, we had so much more in common than we dreamed of, didn't we?
Yeah. That's the one that I alluded to that was from 13 miles away whenever we went down and had breakfast the following day and met the guy. We said, we're from Greenville. And he said, he had this dead look across his face, says, I'm from Pocahontas.
Which for listeners from far away here is like, what, 10, 15 minutes from Greenville.
Yeah.
And as we talked then, he also said, my sister currently lives in Vandalia. And I'm like, that's my hometown. And then he said, my parents live in Highland. In fact, they were just here, had just walked out the door before we walked in.
Yeah, I'm surprised, you know, that they didn't stop us or knock us over on the way out. But we were just blown away by the facts. And there were all of these witching moments came together to put us in that spot. In a parallel universe.
Yeah, we were just dumbfounded at the coffee house. In fact, he even said, he goes, before you go out, right behind the desk, look up behind the desk. You will see an old piece of flooring, I believe from the gym at Pocahontas High School.
Pocahontas School, yeah.
Oh, excuse me, Pocahontas School. And so there it sits, and it's just like, you know, this is too cool. So
yeah, it was.
We just realized we shared a lot of similarities with everyone we encountered, enough that, you know, we had to push our mouths closed from time to time.
And then as we talked further, we found out he had a podcast.
Exactly. And I looked up at him and I said, we do too.
And so, you know, we met his wife. And
yes. And they are. So they were in the business together like we are.
Yeah. It's just too bloody uncanny. And just for those of you that may know him from Pocahontas, it's Chef Lee Gustin. And his wife, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but my goodness, what a fun couple they were. And,
yes.
You know, we instituted one of the help to take a picture of all four of us together. And we took a picture of the Pocahontas floors there on the wall, hanging on the wall in his office. So anyhow.
Well, and one more thing that made the trip all the more fascinating, again, that we just went to this town because the cabin was there. And as we're going on the road to the cabin, I look over and see a Rebecca Boone school. Well, our whole focus of our autumn dinner is about Rebecca Boone, Daniel Boone, and Angie Chute is going to do a portrayal of Rebecca Boone. The cookbook, Rebecca Boone cookbook, is what we're using for the menu. And we've been talking about frontiersmen in general. Well, Daniel Boone has all kinds of history in Warrenton, and I was aware that he has a history in Missouri in general, but not specifically this town. So we've got pictures of you standing by the plaque that talks all about the history of Daniel Boone in that community. And it just was one thing after another. It was a meant-to-be trip, and we will never forget it.
It was. You know, and I still have rolling through my head the image of Fess Parker, you know, that we are people of a certain age that would have that because of the series Daniel Boone. And I think it was only like 26 episodes, but for crying out loud, we still have it ingrained in our heads.
It lives on in our hearts and minds. Daniel Boone was a man. Yes, a big man. He fought for America to keep all Americans free.
There
Daniel
you go.
Boone. So that's going to be, go figure, folks, featured in the September-October issue of the Owl Creek Gazette.
Somehow I can't even say, don't tell me what I know.
Well, I just, it was a perfect trip, a perfect way to share here and then also in the magazine. It enhances what we're doing, and we love that. And so, anyway, just hats off to all those good folks we met along the way while we were there. Now we're back, and we want to move on to the interview we did with author Deb Obermeyer. Deb's Simple Stitch series, which includes two novels and a cookbook, tells the tale of a small town, a yarn shop, a cafe, a homestead known as Slipknot Farm, and the people who love these places and the lives they have created together in the town of Spring Forest. And now on to visit with Deb. So we have a special guest, Deb Obermeyer. Welcome, Deb.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Well, you're welcome. And you've been an author for a long time. Our readers will know about you. We've mentioned you once or twice or several times in the magazine, and you've joined us for other events in
yes.
the past, but we've never had you on Creekside with Don and Jan. So we wanted to let our readers know before we start our book club about how you became an author, why you chose the books you're writing, and just a little bit of information about yourself, too.
Okay. I've always loved to write. Never had anything published before, but have a bunch of little short articles that I wrote throughout the years. And actually, my daughter lives out in Phoenix, and my grandchildren, when I would go out to visit, we would always do something fun and crafty. And when I went out in 2010 to meet yet another grandson, my oldest granddaughter, Emily, 14 at the time, said, Granny, I think we need to write a book. So,
that's inspiration.
That's how it started.
That sure is. When a granddaughter says, "Hey, let's work on this." So, did she collaborate with you in essence?
We actually sat down that afternoon with a pencil and paper, and we decided the name of the book. We named all the characters. Of course, they're after family members. You
sure.
Kind of gave them what they were going to be in the story. We made up the town. We got this all laid out. She wanted to do little stories about the olden days, and I wanted to do the modern time. And she loves to knit and crochet, so we decided A Simple Stitch was going to be our yarn shop on Main Street in our little town. And when I got home from that trip, I pulled these pages out of my suitcase and thought, okay, I can't just let this go. And a year and a half later, I had A Simple Stitch, A Common Thread finally finished.
From your brain to your hand and the pen.
And a whole lot of emails back and forth and telephone calls saying, hey, what do you think about this?
It's amazing how an outline can become a book.
Yeah, and it was just actually scribble sheets of, you know, notes of what was going to be. And I actually just kept writing and writing, and I thought I was finished, and I thought, I have a little bit more to go. I can't let these people go yet. So I added a couple more chapters and ended the book with not the end.
Like that. Well, I've had a chance to read your books, and I've really enjoyed the characters. They did pull me in. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the characters that you and your granddaughter created together?
Okay. Eliza is one of my main characters, and she's what I consider probably a little bit of a reflection of me. Always wanted to have her own business and, you know, her family and her hometown and everything around her. And in the novels, she has her little shop on Main Street, A Simple Stitch, but she also still has the old homestead intact that her great-grandparents started. So there's a lot of travel back and forth to the country. And since I live in the country, I do live on a farm. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a reflection of things that I can write about. You know, faith, family, and friends. That's mm-hmm. and a whole lot of cooking. There's always something cooking.
Cool.
So, and then, like, she has her nephew, CJ, across the street that has the little cafe, you know, just mm-hmm. And then we have characters up and down Main Street, Deb's Mugs and Muffins and Flora's Floral Boutique and, you know, just Amanda's Book Nook. And
when you read the book, ideally this is how it should be with any book, but you can actually feel like you know the characters as you go into their stores
right.
and meet them, or when they join together for a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
All that is you know, it's so inviting.
I just put myself in the middle of this setting when I start to write, and I just think about what they would be doing, and it just flows.
Mm-hmm. And you see yourself walking down the street going mm-hmm. to Flora's?
I absolutely do. Yeah. And I've actually had people come up to me and say, you know, I read that novel, and I could see you in the middle of all those people with a cup of tea in your hand, you know, things like that.
That's really a nice compliment, isn't it?
That's very humbling. Mm-hmm. It really is. And, of course, then they're like, when is the next book coming out?
Well, you've also just recently released a cookbook, too, right?
Yes, I did. I have A Simple Stitch, A Common Thread was my first novel, and then it's followed by A Simple Stitch, A Time to Mend. The first one, A Simple Stitch, A Common Thread, is set in the fall going into the holidays. A Time to Mend is like the following summer, you know, when everything winds down and you start kind of missing that gathering and, mm-hmm. and all that. Then Aunt Mildred, one of my favorite characters, she's a hoot. She actually wrote A Simple Stir, A Memory Served, a cookbook. And it reflects on a lot of the recipes and things that's talked about throughout the novels. It has 84 of my recipes from myself or my family.
Wow.
Pictures that I've been taking of you know, stage and recipes and food and things from the farm. And I dug out some old pictures of my grandkids when they were little, dressed up or whatever. And then she wrote little stories about the recipes as they went on, about maybe how it would have happened really in my own life, but it's told in her way. And I wanted it to be really, really unique. So we did the chapters January through December. And
there's the chapters in the cookbook.
In the cookbook, mm-hmm. January through December. And there's a list of recipes that reflect what might have happened.
In other words.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And recipes that reflect what might have happened during that month, that time of year. Mm-hmm. It's hardcover and all full color. It's just beyond a blessing the way that it turned out. I'm so mm-hmm. proud of the book.
Well,
so
and cool. to have a character, one of your characters write the cookbook
right.
is really a neat idea.
Right.
Well,
right.
let me ask a question, too.
Yes.
Being an aficionado of foodstuffs, tell me about your pie crusts. Are you a lard person or are you a shortening person?
It has to be Crisco.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And sometimes half Crisco, half butter.
Oh,
it just depends.
All right.
Got to get that butter
from
in
recipe
there.
To recipe, it changes.
Yep, it just depends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what are some of your other characters then?
Like I said, CJ is Eliza's nephew, has the little cafe across the street mm-hmm. on the corner. And Eliza never married. And so she has kind of taken CJ under her wing. You know, his folks live further away, and they're very close. In the first story, he's kind of feeling like he has a little bit of an emptiness, you know, so he comes to her wanting to have a gathering at the holidays. So the story kind of revolves around that. He went to school for about 6 months of college and decided that wasn't for him. He wanted to come back and start his business. And so, and then Annie is from Texas. She ended up in Spring Forest for her first year of teaching, has a teaching job. She always wears red cowboy boots. So she caught CJ's eye, you know, so that left a little to unfold. Mm-hmm. And Eliza has her uncle, Oliver, who lives at the homestead, which is called Slipknot Farm.
And I'm going to interrupt here. How did Slipknot Farm get its name?
That's when Eliza's grandparents first started the homestead. And their brand, her name was Caroline and his name was Caleb. They're called Mimsy and Papa mm-hmm. in the book. And when they created their brand, they intertwined the C's and it ended up looking like a Slipknot.
Gotcha.
So
cool.
Yeah. And the yarn shop and everything kind of evolves around that. Mm-hmm. We have a Friday night Girls Knit Out group.
I love that.
You know,
name.
A bunch of friends,
Girls
you know.
Knit out.
Yeah,
that's
Girls
great.
Knit Out group. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have little townspeople that gather there and their lives all kind of intertwine. And then we have another lady in town that has a nonprofit group called A Snug Around the Neck.
Mm-hmm.
And she and some of the volunteers make neck scarves for the needy, and they do, you know, meals and things like that. So there's just a lot of giving going on. It involves some of the teachers at the school with Annie, the new teacher. But it's still not so predictable and sugary, you know.
Right.
It's
very believable.
Yeah, there's ups and downs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when I was reading it, it just, like I said, drew me in, and I couldn't wait to get back to it, which is what a book is supposed to
yes,
do.
Yes.
And then you just feel like you know the people, and you want to go visit.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I guess the next way to visit is to get the next book and
right.
see where they go. Yeah.
Right.
So you said you're working on a third book because everyone that's read your book says, hey, when's the next one? And you're
right.
busy trying to, well, you've got a life separate of writing.
I do, and a full-time job mm-hmm. and everything else. But I'm on chapter 7, about 128 pages into A Simple Stitch, A Familiar Pattern.
Well, there's the fourth book, including the cookbook.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
excuse me,
yeah.
Yes.
It'll be the fourth, but the third novel
mm-hmm,
in the series.
Right.
Yes.
Wow. We can barely, you know, put together a book on how to solder, and I managed
well,
to put out one little book.
You did.
And one little book on how to build an antenna, and they're rapidly selling one every two or three months on Amazon.
Yes. Yeah, that's what Amazon's good for.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just, you know, when we work on our magazine, we have that constant deadline now every other month instead of monthly. But you do get inspired. And sometimes I imagine you can sit down and write a whole bunch. And then do you ever have dry spells where you just can't write? Or do they live so much in you that you don't have those dry spells?
No, they're always there. And when I'm not writing, I feel like I kind of miss them. Mm-hmm. But it also goes by what's going on in my life and my mood and how, you know, if I've had something happen, an illness in the family or something like that, that I'm dealing with, my writing tends to reflect that. So I have to just pause and wait mm-hmm. until I'm back into the setting of my characters.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to, perhaps if you lose somebody close, you're liable to lose a character, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We don't want to do that.
No. The only way I'm going to lose the character is if I have another one say, I want to write a cookbook. They're gone because one is enough.
Write them right out.
Lose them in that chapter.
You bet.
Sorry.
That's funny. Well, we're pleased to be bringing back the Owl Creek Gazette Book Club, and Deb will be leading the discussions regarding her books. And the reason, well, you and I have talked for maybe, what, a year or so about the possibility of doing this. We just had to get the setting right. And your first book does begin kind of to take place in fall.
It does.
And so we thought the perfect time to do this would be in September. If you want to tell our listeners a little bit about the book club as far as the times and dates and all that kind of stuff, that'd be great too.
Okay. Since I do work full time, we decided that Saturday mornings might be the best way to do this. So Saturday, September 14th and Saturday, September 28th at 10:30 to noon here at
Creekside Community Brew Coffee House.
There you go.
I say that so much now, it just rolls right out. Tongue.
It's rote.
Yeah. So we'll be doing that here. The first two Saturdays in September, we'll be doing A Simple Stitch, A Common Thread. And then we will do Saturday, October 12th and Saturday, October 28th, same time, 10:30 to noon, and we will be doing A Simple Stitch, A Time to Mend.
And then I think you've decided to give the people in our book club, and that could be anybody out there, folks. We hope a lot of people will hear this and be inspired to check out Deb's books and then come and join us as we do the book club. But you're going to give a discount on your books, too.
I am, and we'll have books on hand here at the coffee house. And whether you're going to be able to attend the book club or not, we hope that you can. We'll go ahead and do 15% off of the books. A Simple Stitch, A Common Thread, A Simple Stitch, A Time to Mend. The novels are normally $15. We'll be doing those for $12.75. And A Simple Stir, A Memory Served is $24, and we'll be doing that for $20.40. Now, if you purchase all three books, we'll do 20% off, so you can get all three of them for $43.
That's a good deal.
Yeah,
it is. And so you can come in here to Creekside Community Brew at 110 South 2nd Street in downtown Greenville, Illinois, folks, and pick up a copy. If you want to check out Deb's website, everybody, why don't you go ahead and give them some information about that as well, because the website's really interesting.
Yes, it is. Like I said, I live on a farm in Hoyleton, 450 people, small farming community, and I love to take pictures out there. And my website is debobooks.com, debobooks.com, and I have, there's the descriptions of both of the novels and the cookbook on there, and there's little drop downs. One of them is Deb's thoughts, one of them is Welcome to Slipknot, and then Eliza's recipe box is also on there where there's actual recipes. But I write little stories about pictures that I've taken that just strikes me, you know, stirs up a thought after I put them on there. And the website, we like to call it the place if you need to just have an aha moment, if you just need to go somewhere to relax and kind of renew. Just go in there and browse around the website. There's always something different going on in there.
There really is. And yeah. It does make you feel like a part of that community.
Right.
By just being there. And you know, it's interesting. I remember the first time I ever picked up a copy of your book was at another coffee house, M&M Courtyard Cafe in Salem, Illinois.
Yes.
And I looked at that and I thought, this fits with so much what we talk about in the Owl Creek Gazette. And I believe I contacted you.
I think you did.
And it was just like, this is too perfect to not have us connect up.
Right.
And recently we learned that the coffee house in Salem has closed. Mm-hmm. The gentleman got married and he moved to Kentucky, I believe.
Oh, wow.
And he and his new wife. And we were like, oh, darn, because we always enjoyed going in there. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the reason we have the coffee shop we have now is when we would travel around delivering the magazine, we usually, because we deliver the magazines to so many coffee houses, would try to make sure we got at a certain place at a certain time for lunch.
Yes.
So we could enjoy their food.
Yeah.
And he made
some marvelous savory turnovers.
He did.
He really did. So did he not remind you of Donald Sutherland?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's who he looked like.
He did.
Without the attitude.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No, he was really a gem and such a good cook.
Oh, he was. Such a good cook. And in fact, since we do turnovers now here at the coffee house, when he left, he mentioned, I watched as people wrote on Facebook how much they were going to miss him.
Yes.
And they said, we're really going to miss your lemon turnover and I, because he did savory and sweet. I'm thinking Michael is his name. Mm-hmm. I thought, boy, I need to go in there and get that recipe since he's not using it now. Maybe he would be gracious enough to allow us to prepare it here.
Yeah.
And, you know, making things and creating things in the kitchen is one of my, I like doing that. Jan likes doing it too. And I had to twist her arm a little bit to get us to try cream cheese in a turnover. And finally, I succeeded. And we used Neufchâtel cheese and lemon zest, limes and orange zest with a little bit of powdered sugar and a little bit of vanilla. And That's almost a magical combination.
Yes.
That creates a new product from something that's as mundane as cream cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And you throw that in a turnover, it'll knock you back. It's good stuff.
Well, and in my defense of my arm being twisted, I couldn't envision cream cheese just sweetened. I had to have some sort of a perk in there, and we found that too. So speaking of cream cheese, does your cookbook have any recipes with cream cheese, or is that something that's not there, but other goodies can be found?
It does have some recipes with cream cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of recipes with butter. I believe in butter.
Mm-hmm. I believe
that's
in
a
butter.
Bumper sticker.
I believe in butter.
I believe in butter.
Deb Obermeyer.
But my recipes are, a lot of them are recipes that I found throughout the years, and I never just make a recipe. I always throw in something different or tweak it a little and make it my own.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I encourage everybody that cooks or bakes to do that. I've always had a passion for baking. I've baked for people throughout my entire life, decorated more cakes than I can even imagine, and wedding cakes, and I don't do any of that anymore. I always had this big dream of having an inn.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I live on a farm. I have a 12-room farmhouse.
It sounds like a bed and breakfast to me.
Yeah, yeah. But now I've smartened up, and I know the easier way is to just sit there in that chair and just make one up.
Mm-hmm.
So much easier.
Sometimes those chairs are where we need to be.
Exactly. Yeah.
With our feet up and laid back and trying to recuperate from the day.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Fuzzy slippers or no?
Barefoot.
Barefoot. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, I have fuzzy slippers and so do you.
But we do.
Good old Uggs.
Uggs, yes.
And some of the best writing goes on in those slippers.
Yeah, we do a lot of writing. Well, I do a lot of writing in pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that you like to just sit back when you're taking it easy and write? Or
I do. That's how I wind down my day.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, I work 8 to 5. And I come home. We have supper. My husband's a retired dairy farmer. So he usually nods off between 6:30 and 7 in his recliner. And I just get my laptop. And That's how I just wind down. I just throw myself in the middle of my characters and just start to write.
Do you ever go to bed and dream about them?
Well, it's funny because in my second novel, the first novel, everybody said, you know, oh, is it a mystery? Is there any mystery in it? No, it's not a mystery. So mm-hmm. the second one, I thought, okay, I need to put a little twist in here. But everything is, you know, family friendly and on.
Sure.
You know, so I didn't want it to be anything scary or gory. Mm-hmm. So I created a little bit of a twist. And, you know, as I went on and on, the twist got a little bit better and a little bit better. And then I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to get myself out of this? Because what am I going to do with this little mystery here? So woke up in the middle of the night one night and rolled over and thought, I know what I'll do. So I jotted it down and went back to sleep, and I had mystery solved. Worked it right into my series, added a couple more names along with it, and have another character that I just dearly love.
Oh, that's so cool.
Well, yeah. You know, it's interesting. My brother has always said that we should keep a notepad by the bed, so when we wake up, if we've got anything for the magazine or whatever,
right.
it gets written down. And those are words of wisdom that I have never followed. Mm-hmm. And so I will stay awake trying to remember something,
yeah.
which is ridiculous because you can't. And then it's lost.
Yes.
You were smart enough to write yours down.
Oh, my gosh. It just came to me just like a little, you know, lightning bolt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's what I can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. whenever she nudged me at 4:30 in the morning and said, Don, are you awake? I said, well, I am now. And she said, I've had a dream. We need to buy the coffee house.
That's really what happened.
Wow.
And so
it's a good thing you didn't write that down.
I was going to share that right on. I don't think I'd have forgotten that one because that hit me like a lightning bolt, too. And I was like, you know, and Don said at the time, after he kind of got over the fact that I'd just woken him up out of a sound sleep, he didn't act like I was crazy or anything. And so we just said we'd check with the owner, and the rest is history. Here we sit with our studio inside our coffee house.
You bet.
Yeah.
So that's how you do it.
Well, how do you envision, or what would you suggest people come to the book club having totally read the books? Or what are you thinking when you want to sit down and have a discussion? Since we're doing two books, mm-hmm. and really we're going to cover one book in 2 weeks. So it'd be nice if they'd come and have read half of it,
even
the whole
thing. Yeah, even if they've read half of it, mm-hmm. you know, or even just get into it, then maybe the discussion will kick it up and, you know, they'll get a little bit more excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
In the first novel, as I was writing around chapter 8, I texted my daughter and I said, I think I'm getting boring. And she said, well, it's time for Aunt Mildred to come in. Well, we used family names and everything. We didn't have an Aunt Mildred. I don't know where that came from. But in chapter 9, Aunt Mildred showed up, and she livened things up and still is.
She kicks it up a notch, doesn't she?
She does. She does.
Well, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got colorful characters in our own past that are real, and if you wrote about them, they'd probably, you know, sue you. But
that's why you changed the name to protect the innocent and the guilty.
Well, we've been in settings before that somebody will look at me and say, you're starting to act like Aunt Mildred, and I take that as a compliment.
Absolutely.
No
nothing
doubt.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
Well, have you got you've got a website, right? We've said your website name, but let's repeat it so that we can get that done.
DebOBooks.com.
Okay. And we're going to have some of your books here at the coffee house so that people that want to come and join the book club can pick the book up ahead of time
right.
and read.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And they can find you on Facebook too,
yes.
correct?
Yes. A Simple Stitch Series - Novels.
And then they can find you on Facebook as well.
Yes.
So you're there too.
Deb Obermeyer. I'm mm-hmm. there too.
You want to spell your last name?
Yeah.
Okay.
OBERMEIER.
I've typed that enough that I have the E's in the I
in
the right place finally.
I know. It's a hard one to type.
So anyway, got a summary you can give to inspire people about the book and maybe encourage them to pick it up. We've mentioned the name of the town and the name of the farm and some of the characters, but kind of summarize what the books are about, if you would.
They're really about hometown living. Groups of friends, like I said, a lot of time spent at the homestead. And Aunt Mildred and Eliza both are very good storytellers. So mm-hmm. they'll be in the middle of a situation that might kick up a story that happened in the past or that they remember happening. And I like detail. So I do go into a lot of detail on my stories or my settings or my characters. They're always cooking something. So maybe on those mornings that we have book club, I'll bake up one of the recipes that's been in the few chapters that we're reading. And
that would be great.
Have a little treat while we're here.
Mm-hmm. That's always
so
fun.
Yeah.
Well, listen, thanks for joining us. And we'll have the books here available. And, you know, please do come in and pick them up here at,
yeah,
the Coffee House.
And plan to come, folks, and join us for the book club. I'm looking forward to it. And even though I'll be working at the Coffee House, I'm going to see if I can sneak in and enjoy the book club discussion, too, because I want to be a part of that.
I think I can handle the biscuits and gravy that
okay.
go out of here,
you
too.
And Becky can do that thing, and
we'll
I'll be doing the other thing.
Okay.
How's that? So thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you shortly.
Thank you so much for having me.